Well, hello again, Mike O'Connor, another GeezerCast for you. It's been a little hiatus, as usual. I'm having a hard time this summer staying with the once-a-week schedule. I imagine I'll get better as the weather gets cooler and I'm inside more, but we've been doing a lot of mowing and, you know, just stuff, and so the GeezerCast are getting a little erratic. Sorry about that. But I got a topic today. Oh, I left the windows open so you can listen to... There's a red squirrel who's kind of annoyed, and some birds and stuff. That's what's going on in the background. I thought today I'd talk about biodiesel, of all things. This is definitely a GeezerCast for the unborn grandchildren, because I think biodiesel is a very cool thing in 2006, but I don't think it's going to be a really cool thing in 2056. We've got to figure out a better way than this. And so I thought I'd rattle on about that a little bit, and hope that you, my unborn grandchildren, figure out something different than what we're doing right now. I mean, biodiesel is about the coolest thing, you know, for a whole lot of people. It's great for farmers. Farm economy in 2006 isn't the greatest, although it's getting a lot better because biofuels are raising the demand for corn and beans, the standard cash crops in Middle America. And that's raising prices, which is making the farm economy happier, and land values are going up, and politicians are perky, and on and on. So it's a good thing for the farm economy, there's no doubt about that. Biodiesel is, for those of you who don't know, where you take vegetable oil, usually corn oil or soybean oil, and you transmogrify it into diesel fuel for tractors and cars. It's been around a while, but it's certainly catching on now. And it's very appealing. It's still this incredibly small proportion of the sort of gasoline diesel that we consume, but it holds the promise, or at least the promise is being held out for it, that it will reduce our reliance on Middle Eastern oil, which, again, in 2056, I hope we figured this out, but right now it's definitely a mess in the Middle East, and it's mostly a mess because there's oil that's needed underneath a very volatile political landscape, and this particular week has not been so great. Israel is going into Lebanon, and it's just really bad. Anyway, so, you know, biodiesel's held out as a pretty neat thing from that perspective. It's also kind of sort of renewable, unlike petroleum, which is pretty cool. And it's very easy to implement on existing vehicles. It can be mixed with gasoline and run in normal cars, and it can be a much higher ratio of it can be used pretty much directly into a normal diesel engine, either a car or a tractor, which is pretty slick. You don't have to do a whole bunch of infrastructure stuff. And so, you know, there's just a lot of political, social momentum behind it right now, which, you know, I think is fine. But people aren't, I don't think, looking way out into the future to where you, my unborn grandchildren, would be coping with whatever we've put together. I think the first thing is that if you took sort of biodiesel, biofuels to their logical conclusion, when you, my grandchildren, are driving around, I would expect that the countryside landscape is basically fence row to fence row corn and beans. Because when you sort of start doing the math and you get enough biodiesel being produced to actually make a significant dent in total consumption, especially projecting increasing total consumption, there's no reason to assume that that's not going to continue. You start running out of land. You start running out of place to plant corn pretty quick, actually, because while we've got a lot of idle land, we aren't, it's not 50% of the land that's idle. And in order to produce enough biofuel to really make a difference, I think we'd have to plant up all that and more. Probably start buying corn and beans from overseas, so pretty soon you could kind of imagine the whole world is fence row to fence row corn and beans just to support this concept, which presents all kinds of other problems. One is that we use corn and beans for other stuff. We probably wind up paying a lot more for that. But the other problem is that at least here in central Wisconsin, the land is really hilly, and it's not really good land for corn or beans. It's when you plant cash crops like that on this land, it's just an erosion nightmare. And we've got a program where certain kinds of lands, especially hilly land that are erosion prone, can be put into something called the Conservation Reserve Program, where farmers are paid not to farm that kind of land. And it's got a two-edged sword there. It improves water quality by holding the dirt on the land rather than washing it into streams, but it also helps the farmers out a bit. Well, if you come along with really high-priced corn and beans, Conservation Reserve Program no longer makes sense to a farmer, so you know, I think we're going to start seeing an awful lot more marginal land planted into cash crops like that, and then we're going to have the consequential problems of water quality, which you, my unborn grandchildren, are going to then have to figure out, because having a lot of topsoil in the streams doesn't do us very much good at all. Yeah, and another thing is that I kind of mentioned this a minute ago, but you know, prices for corn and beans going way up are going to also have a whole bunch of unintended consequences, especially internationally. As you know, we start buying out all of the available oil-producing crops, not just corn, beans, but you know, canola and whatever else. That's going to raise the prices for people around the world. And that's going to have a pretty big impact on their economies and their quality of life and stuff like that. We're going to have to figure that one out. And I imagine we will, but I bet not right away, and I bet some people will get hurt in the process. Hopefully we will have figured it out by the time you're around. Another thing that's interesting is that it takes a lot of water to produce these biofuels, and already in Minnesota we're starting to see situations where plants are being put up and they're consuming more water from the water table than they thought they were going to, and either they're being shut down or subsequent permits aren't being issued, and that's going to get to be a scramble. We've already got a whole nother story for you grandchildren to cope with in terms of water, especially outside of the Midwest. Water is starting to become a pretty big problem, and if we switch our whole automobile tractor economy over to using fuel that takes a lot of water, I don't think that's going to be a real good thing either. That may be a puzzler for you guys to figure out. And so, you know, I'm just not sure that this biofuels thing that everybody's so fired up about is the cool thing that they think it is. Much as I'd like to, as I say, there's a lot of appealing things about it. Helps the economy, helps farmers, it's renewable. But I don't think that people have really thought it through, and now I think we're in sort of the standard political log rolling scene where I don't think this is stoppable now. I'm not sure it should be stopped, but I think it's going to present some problems for you, my unborn grandchildren, and I just thought I'd let you know that I was thinking about you back here in 2006. That's it for this time. I gotta go mow some more. It's a beautiful day. And so that's the Geezer Cast for this week. I'll see you the next time.